This morning, we're going to begin the sermon time with a pop quiz. And I'm not kidding. All those of you who identified with the Pharisee in this morning's lesson, raise your hands. Okay, got a couple of you. All those of you who identified with the tax collector, raise your hand. Okay. So I noticed that some of you didn't raise your hand in response to either of the choices. Fortunately for you, there is a third. Who here identified with both the Pharisee and the tax collector? Okay, we're still not seeing all the hands raised here, so I'll give you an out. Who here is wondering just what I'm doing? Okay. I was giving you a chance to look in the mirror, and I just want you to keep that opportunity in mind throughout this morning's message. Another way to look at this passage is through this graph, and you really can't see it all, but on the left hand, this is a relative badness of sin. And on the left hand, we have sins you struggle with, and it's a short little green bar, and it says, really not that bad. And then there's a big, tall, red one, and it says, whoa, Nelly, that sin is bad. Those other people better start repenting. You can imagine to whom this graph is directed. It's our friend the Pharisee. Now, we need to set aside some conceptions we have here, because reading this story with our modern eyes, hearing it with our modern ears, we think there are no good guys here, right? We've been trained by the church for over 2,000 years to think that the Pharisees are the bad guys, that they wear the black hats, that they're the ones who are always out to get Jesus. And of course, a constant of history is that nobody likes the tax man. However, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees weren't some monolithic block out to get him. They weren't the fundamentalists who insisted on crossing the T's and dotting the I's. That would have been the Sadducees. The Pharisees were more interested in making following the Torah available to all of the people. And they actually had flexible approaches to the interpretation of Scripture. So the Pharisee, to the people hearing this story, would have been a good guy. As for the tax collector, people still didn't like the tax man. But unlike today, when we have a civil service and people who work for the Internal Revenue Service may not be beloved, but they follow rules, they don't skim receipts off for their own benefit, back in Jesus' day, the tax collectors were bad. Some of you may remember from your studies in high school or college that the French Revolution, one of the big problems was tax farming. And those were people who bought the right to go out and collect taxes for the king. And all they had to do was give him a set percentage, and anything above that that they could collect, they could keep. Well, tax farming existed in the Roman Empire. So this tax collector would have been a tax farmer. So he's not only fleecing his fellow men, but he's doing it on behalf of a foreign power. This guy is a traitor, and he's greedy, and nobody would have looked up to him. So the Pharisee wanders into the temple, and we know what he says. Thanks God, I'm not a loser. I'm not like a thief or that tax collector. I'm better. And then he goes on to say, I fast, and I tithe, and I pray. Aren't I great? Now, The Pharisee isn't actually doing anything wrong, is he? He's coming to church, essentially. He's doing what's asked of him. He's serving on committees. He's given to stewardship. He shows up all the time. He's the kind of person a pastor would love to have in his congregation. He's a worker bee. He gets stuff done. Except, you notice something interesting about the Pharisee's prayer? It's not as if he's coming before God to ask for something or to pray for something. It's as if he has come before God and said, "Yo, God, look at me. I'm really cool. And you're lucky I'm here. Now, I know none of you are like that. But perhaps at some point during your lives, you have encountered people like that in the church. The whole purpose of church and of being in relationship with God would have passed right over their heads. And then we have the tax collector. Well, of course, the tax collector can't even go to the front of the sanctuary. He stays in the back, doesn't want to be seen. He's beating his chest. It's a form of self-flagellation. And all he can do is confess to God that he is a sinner. Guess what? All of us, every single last person in this room, is a sinner. It's not just death and taxes that we will all do. We will all sin. And that's the truth. But the tax collector recognized that. And he confessed his sin. And he knew he had to lay it all before God because there was nothing he could do on his own. Now, we in the Protestant tradition are very familiar with the idea of justification by faith. We don't believe in works. We believe that it is solely through God's grace that we are forgiven and we are saved. That doesn't mean that we can then go off and sin willy-nilly. One of the problems with today's lectionary reading is that it is cut off from last week's lesson about the unjust judge and the widow, and next week's lesson about Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Last week we read that the widow was vindicated before the judge. And the moral of last week's story was that when we bring our prayers to God, they will be heard. And this week we hear again that the tax collector is vindicated. And another word for that is justified. That's a central part of our faith. However, we don't know what the tax collector does next. And we know that repentance involves acknowledgement of our sins and then changing our ways. And that's what's so powerful about the story of Zacchaeus that we would read next week, except we're going to be observing All Saints Day. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. So he was not only in the scam, but he had other people working for him in it. And the gospel tells us that he was rich. So he was doing well by doing bad. But something about what Jesus was teaching and preaching had caught his attention. And so Zacchaeus, whom we are told was short of stature, climbed a tree to see Jesus. And Jesus called him out by name and told Zacchaeus in front of this crowd that he, Jesus, was going to be staying at his house. Now, if we've spent any time paying attention to the Gospels, we know that Jesus uses stock characters in his parables and in his preaching. Jesus calling out to Zacchaeus and recognizing him was a sign of God's redeeming power. And Zacchaeus, in response to Jesus, and ignoring the grumblings of the crowd around him, told his Lord that he would give half of all he had away. And that if he had wronged anybody, he would give them four times as much. So he wasn't just saying, gee, I'm sorry. He was following it up with action. I could have made this sermon really short, and I could have done what another preacher I read about did. And after you heard the lesson, which was so wonderfully read by Sue, I could have just asked how many of you felt like the Pharisee. And then I could have sat down. The text deserves more than that, I think. And the gospel deserves more than that. But the lesson here is pretty simple. We don't have to search for it. We need to look in the mirror. We need to ask ourselves about our priorities, about our actions, and about whether what we do matches who we claim to be. Sometimes we carry around images of ourselves that aren't quite true. As an example, we did a photo directory here a few years ago, and I think the photographer took a pretty good picture of me. I happened to weigh a bit less then, so I still use that headshot. And earlier last week, I was down in New York for a board meeting at the United Church Funds, and they actually took a group photo of us, and then they took individual headshots. Now, things have changed because a long time ago, someone would have taken a picture and would have had to develop the film, and then you get stuck with whatever they took. But now, everything's digitized. And I got to see my picture right then. And my first thought was, who is this guy? It was me. But where had all that extra weight come from? I like to deny it, but it's there. Now, I know what I can do to get back to that old picture. I can watch my diet. I can go to the gym more. I can take care of myself. I know what I need to do. And I'm sure all of you here can identify with that in one way or another. Just as we need to take care of our physical bodies, we need to take care of our spiritual selves too. God does indeed give us everything, and that includes responsibility. So we need to think about what we do with our time. Are we volunteering in the community? We need to think about what we're doing online, or if we're spending money on scratch tickets. It all adds up. The truth is that there is a bit of the Pharisee in all of us. And especially, I dare say, among those of us who come to church on Sunday morning. We think that because we're here, well, we're special. But we're just as fallen as everybody else. Supposedly, though, we know that. So I don't know whether you find this message uplifting or depressing, whether you think that the weather outside today is matching your mood now. But I think this story is actually hopeful. Jesus wouldn't tell it to us if he didn't think we couldn't respond to it. So you're not going to be graded on that pop quiz I gave you earlier today. However, there will be a quiz. And yes, it's going to be given by God, who, in addition to being our Savior, is a judge. He's paying attention. And my hope is that we'll all take a good, hard look in the mirror, and that we'll then pass God's quiz with flying colors. I know we can do it.